The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
Okay, so welcome again. Welcome, everybody. It's such a delight to see you all. So a certain part of loving kindness is just the kindness part, right? Just being gentle or thoughtful or non-harsh, maybe, is one way we can think about kindness towards others and towards ourselves. And sometimes there's ways in which we are harsh and we don't even recognize it, especially towards ourselves. I know there was a time when I would be working, and I'd be at my desk, and especially if I had been like for hours just kind of like focused on something, and then I would get lost or forget what something I was supposed to do and make some mistakes. And I would find myself going, "Diana," you know, just kind of like out loud. I'd be saying my name, but with this tone, like a little bit of disappointment, like, "Get it together, Diana." Good news is I don't do that so much anymore. But there can be a way, whether it's out loud in some obvious way, like I would be doing, or if it's just in a more subtle, quiet way, there might be a way in which we have a little bit of chastising ourselves, like a prodding ourselves in a way that isn't filled with kindness and care. It's a little bit of disappointment, or maybe even with forget what it's called, where you go, you know, the kind of like the lash that you're supposed to make yourself work harder or something like this. So one way that this can show up, and that can be subtle and easy to miss, is with meditation. Whether it's a mindfulness meditation or with loving kindness meditation. Sometimes when we discover that instead of meditating, we're lost in thought, some juicy fantasy or planning or some memory that we're just rehashing, recapitulating over and over again. Might be a way in which we, when we first realize, "Oh, I've been lost in thought," that we're a little bit disappointed in ourselves, or a little bit something that's not kind. I don't even know what the words are, but the tone is one where we're kind of prodding ourselves, like, "Oh, get it together," type. So I'd like to read again from this book that I'm reading. It's these are poems that are inspired by the first women who were, the poems have been preserved. I don't know if in fact these are the first women, but the poems that have been preserved from the first women who have become awakened, who have become enlightened at the time of the Buddha. And the tradition holds these. So these poems are inspired by them. They're not necessarily exactly what was said, but they are close, let's say that. So this poem goes like this. While walking along the river after a long day meditating on Vulture Peak, I watched an elephant splashing its way out of the water and up the bank. "Hello, my friend," a man waited there said, scratching the elephant behind its ear. "Did you have a good bath?" The elephant stretched out its leg. The man climbed up. And the two rode off like that, together. Seeing what had once been so wild, now a friend and companion to this good man, I took a seat under the nearest tree and reached out a gentle hand to my own mind. Truly, I thought, this is why I came to the woods. Seeing what had once been so wild, now a friend and companion to this good man, I took a seat under the nearest tree and reached out a gentle hand to my own mind. Truly, I thought, this is why I came to the woods. I think this is very touching. You know, elephants, especially in ancient India, right, were so powerful. And but they were wild and dangerous. And it was, there's a number of different discourses in which the Buddha talks about taming elephants, kind of like by taming the mind. And here, just seeing how this person, the way that he speaks to the elephant, saying, hello, did you have a nice bath? You know, just a kind of a gentle way, in such a way they became friends and worked together. So is there a way in which we can do this with our minds? It's like when we discover, oh, I'm lost in thought. It's okay. We don't have to make a problem out of it. We don't have to chastise ourselves. We don't have to beat ourselves up. Just so. Did you have a good fantasy? Did you have a good planning session? Whatever it was. And just begin again. So in this way is to make friends with our minds. So loving kindness practice can extend to this way too. Just we do loving kindness practice for ourselves. Often we are thinking about it's for the way we are in the world or who we are. And sometimes we forget that the way that the thoughts that we have towards ourselves is another place in which we can practice loving kindness. So with that as an introduction, let's do some meditation practice. And to take an alert, upright posture, a posture that reflects kindness, well-being. We're not trying to twist ourselves into pretzels or to do an endurance test, but instead to take a posture that's comfortable, especially with loving kindness practice. It can be helpful to have a posture that's easeful and to also express our intention of meditating, our intention of working with the mind, working with our experiences. And we can start with three long, slow breaths as a way to get connected to the body and to our experience. And then letting the breath return to normal and trusting that the breath knows how to breathe. We don't have to do anything special. And just checking in with the sensations in the body, settling in. What does it feel like at this moment to be here and now? You might feel the pressure of the chair, the cushion against your body, maybe against the back, the backside, the legs, feeling your feet touching the ground. just resting our awareness on the sensations of the body, bringing some aliveness, some embodiment to the physical experience right now. Letting the sensations of the body show themselves to you. And you might notice, of course, that the body is breathing. We can just bring our attention to the sensations of breathing, the movement of the chest, the movement of the abdomen, or maybe the feeling of air going in and out of the nose. When you find yourself lost in thought, very gently, kindly, just begin again with the sensations of breathing. We can always come back to this practice if loving kindness practice doesn't feel like it's the right one for you right now. Of just noticing, tuning into the sensations of breathing or of the body. And then to begin our loving kindness practice, bring to mind a lovable being, someone for whom it's easy to feel love, care, respect, warmth. And bringing this person to mind, to support our cultivating loving kindness, can repeat these phrases. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. Wishing warm with warm wishes for a being for whom it's uncomplicated. And when you notice that the mind has wandered, can you allow that warm wishes to be towards the mind? May you be safe. May you be happy. May you be healthy. May you live with ease. It might be that there isn't an obvious way, and you're feeling warmth or kindness. There might be, and there might not be. We're just setting that intention, creating the conditions. This is very valuable, important work, independent of what actually arises this moment. Coming back to that intention for kindness, gentleness, warmth, again and again. Makes it easier and easier to do this in the future. And then to expand our loving kindness to include ourselves. In the same way, bringing to mind either the felt sense of being here this moment, or an image of ourselves, an image that makes you feel happy. Or at least doesn't make you cringe or have regret, but hopefully helps you smile. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. can be helpful to check in with the sensations in the body. There's a feeling of warmth or openness, spaciousness. We can use that as a support for our practice. Maybe even be a foundation for loving kindness for ourselves. While walking along the river, after a long day meditating on Vulture Peak, I watched an elephant splashing its way out of the water and up the bank. "Hello, my friend," a man waiting there said, scratching the elephant behind its ear. "Did you have a good bath?" The elephant stretched out its leg. The man climbed up, and the two rode off like that, together. Seeing what had once been so wild, now a friend and companion to this good man. I took a seat under the nearest tree. And reached out a gentle hand to my own mind. Truly, I thought, this is why I came to the woods. What would it mean for you to reach out a gentle hand to your own mind? May I be safe. May I be happy. May I be healthy. May I live with ease. And then we can do some equanimity practice to help support our loving kindness practice and to support whatever is arising in our life. So for this practice, bring to mind somebody with whom you have a relationship and that you care about. And yet, sometimes they're a little bit irksome, a little bit bothersome. Not the most difficult person, but and for equanimity practice, we'll use this phrase. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. I wish you happiness, and I cannot make your choices for you. And for the last little bit of this meditation, what feels like would be a kind, gentle way to practice. Maybe simple mindfulness. Maybe continuing with this practice. Maybe loving kindness for yourself. And then to end this meditation, feel the pressure of the chair or cushion against your body. Feel your feet on the ground. And when you're ready, you can gently open your eyes. So this idea of making friends with our minds and recognizing that, you know, minds think, that's what minds do. And sometimes we might have this mistaken idea that meditation is all about forcing our mind to stop thinking. Thinking quiets down when the conditions are there. And part of the conditions are having an arena, a space of kindness, and just coming back again and again, just coming back again and again to whether we're doing mindfulness practice or loving kindness practice in a gentle way. So it can be helpful to talk about some of these ideas and to share experiences and ideas you might have. So I'm going to put you into some breakout rooms and you can discuss what does it mean to have a gentle hand or reach out a gentle hand to your own mind. Or maybe you'll just discuss how that meditation period was for you. So we'll meet just for about 12 minutes. And let's have, we'll go alphabetically by the screen name. If you're, with apologies, if you're at the beginning or the end of the alphabet, but so if your first name begins with the letter A, or your screen name rather, nobody here has the letter A, but I guess Barbara, you're going to go first in your group. Hopefully that's okay. So just an opportunity to talk. Have fun. So welcome back. Welcome back, everybody. Somebody have a comment or a question or something they'd like to share? I see many of you are smiling. This is a good sign.
(Clears I really liked that poem. Right. I liked, you know, the visualization I thought was great, you know, and, you know, there was no attempt at taming the wild beast or anything of that sort. It was just looking at it and, you know, saying hello, you know, and giving it a little scratch, you know, and yeah, I very much liked it.
Thank you. Thank you, Neil. I do too. During while you guys were off discussing, I was reflecting on it too and reflecting like, oh, I really like this. And there's another verse about that's related to this somewhere in the suttas that I've read somewhere. I'm going to see if I can find it because I think it's really nice. Thank you, Neil. And Jerry, you had your hand up.
Thank you. I was reflecting in the small group about when you went on to talk about equanimity and wishing the person happiness, but then not being responsible, that you're not responsible for the decisions that they take. And that was helpful because, but, you know, you wish the person happiness, but ultimately their happiness or sadness is going to be more related to their decisions that they take than all of your wishes. But it doesn't stop you from wishing them well. And of course, it's sad when you see them take decisions that may not be in their interests. But it was helpful, that switch to move toward from loving kindness to that was helpful. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Jerry. Yeah, it's so easy, right, to slide into, I want you to be happy, and here's how to be happy. You should do this and not do that. And, you know, it's easy to slide right into that. So it can be really helpful to do some equanimity practice.
Nice pairing.
Anybody else have a comment? Something they'd like to share?
Diana?
Yes, Diana.
I would like to ask a question, mm-hmm. and that is, where could we obtain that poem?
Oh.
Are you able to send that to us, or?
So it's in a book. I think the mirror, I have it on. It's called The First Free Women by, can you see this name? Maddie Weingass. Oh, look, Neil put it in the chat box there. So you can see in the chat box. Mm-hmm. This book, I think, just came out maybe 2 years ago, 1 year ago, not too long ago.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so I invite you all to unmute and so that we might say good night and thank you and goodbye and goodbye. It's nice seeing you all. It's lovely seeing you all.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Good night.
Bye. Good tomorrow.
Bye. Thank you.